So our scripture lesson today is from John. It's chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you, for the words that you gave me to me have been given to them. They have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I've been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they will be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in a world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they did not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. And so this is really about discipleship, is the way I read this scripture. And so, I don't know that we think of names being all that special. Although my eye doctor calls me special ed, just so you know. It's just what he calls me. And so we don't really think of names being particular. But especially in the Old Testament times, a lot of times the name meant something. It was where you're from, or who your father was, or who your family was. And one of the things that we don't probably talk about as much as we should to help you understand is that family was really important. And so if you had a parent or a child that did something that was bad, it not only affected them, it was the whole family it affected. And so it was really important that everybody did what they were supposed to do. And so it really was about the character of the person. And so when we talk about God, we do it pretty freely. One of the things that you may notice in the Old Testament is that God is not mentioned by name. You just wouldn't do that. It was thought to be against what he wanted. And so in some of the Old Testament books, you'll see Yahweh, which is a term they use for Lord or Jehovah. But they would never say that in public. You just wouldn't do that. I think part of that is they didn't know God, maybe the same way we do. And so we have a trust in God that we feel safe saying his name because we've seen what he is. And as we become closer through Jesus Christ, we have a better feel for him. And so to be a disciple, Jesus came into the world through God, and we see, well, we don't see Jesus in person do stuff, but I would say we see Jesus' actions cause things to happen in the world. So, for example, the other day I was, I think I was at Meijer, I got to go there, and there was some lady and she was having a lot of trouble with getting out of the door. Because she went through the door that wasn't automatic. I'm not sure why. And some guy just stopped and came back and helped her open the door. And how many times do you see somebody do that? They didn't have to, but they did. There's a person walking out the store, and they dropped one of their packages, came out of the sack, and they just didn't notice. This guy picked it up and yelled at him and caught up with him and gave it to him. I think any time I ever see that, it's Jesus working through the world. You see those good things that happen. We may not see Jesus standing in front of us directly, but we see those things that he does through us, through the disciples that we're supposed to come. And so when we hear people talk that help people, that take the time to go out of their way when they didn't have to. Those actions through Jesus we see gives us a better indication of what God is like. Because I don't think any of us really can have a comprehension of God. I mean, I don't know what I, so I have this view of God. It's not right. It's just the way. So he's the, all I see is a big white head, big white hair flowing down. I have no idea why that's my vision of God. It could just as easily be when George Burns played God or Morgan Freeman played God. I think God looks like all those things. It's just how he looks to you. But we see that in the world. So God wants us to keep our word that he shared with us. And we get that through our relationship with Jesus. So we are all called to be part of the family of God. Now, although we're all called, so we're destined to be called is what I put up here. And then I thought, no, I don't really want to say that because I don't want people to think that you're predestined, because there's a whole group of people out there that think people are either going to be called by the Lord or they're not going to be called by the Lord. Now, I would say that's wrong because I think anybody can change. That no matter how you've been raised or if you fall away from God in the middle, that that's not predetermined. You make that choice on how your relationship with the Lord comes. But there's a group of people that think, so can I pick on you for a minute, Anita? Okay. She said yes, in case you couldn't hear. So if you believed in predestination and Anita was not going to be called by the Lord, then no matter what Anita did, she can never be called by the Lord. And I don't believe that's true. And so if Anita becomes the worst person in the world, whoever you think that is, then it's not her fault because she was never going to be called by the Lord. And I just find that impossible to believe, because any of us, whether we're good or bad, or sometimes we're both good or bad where we're at in our lives, we have that chance to change. So the example I put up here, a couple examples. How many of you are teachers in here? I can't remember. I've been teachers. So how many of you had a child that you thought, there is no way this child isn't going to be great when they grow up? Okay? And how many of those children turned into complete dumpster fire? Okay? And the opposite way, you had, you know, little Johnny in the class, and Johnny just tormented everybody in the whole entire world, and then they grow up, and they're really good people, because it works both ways. But parents do the same thing. And so I can remember being aggravated with one of the girls one time because I thought, they are never going to get this. They are just never going to get life in general. Because one of them especially, I'm not going to mention Alicia's name, but she would say, that's not fair. That's not fair. And I kept telling her, okay, everything in the world is not fair. You just have to work through it. Well, it's not fair. I want to change it. Good luck with that, okay? And so one of the people we were doing taxes for, I don't know what she's trying to do. She tried to get the stimulus credit. Someone else already claimed her. She's 22 years old. She didn't make any money last year. I'm guessing it was her parents. One of her parents claimed her. And she told us at the last meeting we had, she said, well, I want to send this in to the IRS and find out why. And the lady from the IRS that helps us said, she is going to be so sorry she started this. She said she just started a letter war with the IRS that she can't possibly win. They will just keep sending her letters that say the same thing. And so sometimes our kids do that because we want them to move on and they can't get off of that. And so this being what we expect to happen isn't always what happens, but with God's help, anything is possible. And so Jesus believed in his Father and he believed in humanity. So he would go out and see people. So we'll talk about the lady at the well, who had five husbands and wasn't probably a very good person. And I don't know that I've ever told that story here. But the reason that she was at the well in the middle of the day, because all the other women would have come first thing in the morning or the last thing in the day, is because she knew nobody else liked her too. because she was not a good person. The community would have thought she was not a good person. And Jesus still spoke with her and ends up saving her spiritual life. He is willing to reach out to people that sometimes we as a group give up on, because he never gives up on us. And so when I talk about humanity, I just don't mean the people that we like or the people that we think are good. I'm really talking about everybody, that he's not going to give up on them. And so God is constantly working on us to get us closer to Jesus. And he either is going to work on us directly, or he's going to bring people into our lives that help us find that relationship, whatever it takes to get that. And so one of the things I find interesting in sports, I like it when somebody at the end, in the interview, the very first thing they say is, I want to give thanks to Jesus for whatever happens. Now, I like for them to be a good person too, but I can't always do that. And I like it to be somebody for a team I like, but I can't always do that either. But I'm so impressed that they take time to do that. Because if they're being interviewed like that, they probably won. They probably had a really important part of the game. And it would be an easy place to say, you know what? This is all about me, because I am the man or the woman, depending on what sport it is. But they don't do that. They put Jesus first. And so the examples I put on this is, if you're really, so you had a professor that taught you harp or something someplace, Annie. And so we're calling Annie DA, in case you didn't know it, Dr. Annie, we just shortened it to DA. And so she had people that helped her in school. And whether that was in elementary school or whether that was getting her doctorate, she had people that she worked with. And so it's that pupil giving credit to the person that taught them. And the other example I put up here was an athlete to the trainer. Because a lot of times that they have, that athlete has a natural ability, but they may not be able to get to their best ability to do that, whatever sport it is, whatever activity it is, because they don't know how to train themselves. And so even though we may end up at the end of the day being the person that gets that done, gets that kind of degree, wins that kind of award, we have to be able to give credit to the person that really helped us. So part of this in here, I don't know if you guys notice this, but when he starts talking about sending out into the world, when he does that in this scripture, he's talking about the world that doesn't know God. So when he says world, he's really saying that part of the world that doesn't know the Lord. And he's telling them, he's acknowledging this difference. I think when we think of the world, we just think of everybody. But he's really saying there's people that know the Lord and there's people that don't know the Lord. And in this scripture, those who don't know the Lord are the ones he's going out into the world. And so when we go out, we're going to meet people, or we're going to be around people that they're part of the world. They don't know the Lord. They've never known the Lord. That number is probably getting bigger. This number that does is getting smaller. The good news is that means you get more opportunities to share, because they don't know what you're talking about. And so if you look around at our world that we're in now, and almost every Sunday we talk about all the violence, I can't believe those people that harm others and never give a thought about it could have God in their lives at all. Where they can hurt someone or take someone's life in an instant and not even give it a second thought. And so for us, it's not just trying to get people to know the Lord. We make the world a better place by doing that. In this case, when I'm saying world, I'm saying those who don't know the Lord also. And so in his prayer, he's asking God to help us, to help all of us that know him. And so there's kind of two parts to that prayer. One part is he hopes everything's joyful in our lives. And the other part's a warning. Because sometimes when you go out and you share what God has done for you, there'll be other people that don't like that. So I don't know if we've been watching the Mom series since it started, and its last show was this week. And they all have addiction issues. It's about a group of women that have addiction issues. And at the very last show, they're talking about how their lives have changed and how things that happen better, and they have a new person in the group. And she said, I don't know how you guys can be so happy. You've never done some of the stuff I've had to do. And so they ask her what? She goes, well, I had to be in prison. And the one goes, yeah, 8 years here for robbery. Well, I lived homeless. She goes, I lived in a car for 4 years. And so she thought she was special because of what she's gone through. And all those people there had the same issues. When we go out into the world, it is not going to be a perfect place. People get sick. People get hurt. People that we love and really care for, bad things happen to them. Sometimes it's just an accident, like in a car wreck. Sometimes it's a disease they get that we can't understand why they would. But Jesus is warning us that just because we believe doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect all the time. He also then is asking us not to ask for like a free pass so that nothing ever happens to us, to get away. And then he talks about unity. Now, I think sometimes when I read this, I think he's talking about unity for the group, but you don't want to become so unified that you don't let anybody else into the group. I think it's a better description of the unity here would be unity so that all of us can work together, not necessarily the same way, but all of us can work together to bring God to the world that doesn't know Him. Doesn't mean we'll all be doing it the same. Doesn't mean we'll all be in the same church. We're not have to be all in the same city. We don't have to do it all the same way. But we have that unity of purpose of being able to reach out and bring God to the rest of the world. And the last thing he talks about here is protect us against the evil one. Now, whether you think that Satan or the devil or whatever you want to call it, there's evil stuff out there. And there's bad things out there. And so he's asking for protection for his disciples, because we are part of that disciple group. And so all of us are called to do this, to reach out to brothers and sisters, family and friends. And it's a special task. People that don't know the Lord are not asked to go out and reach people. And so God equips us by knowing us in our hearts and for us to know Him in our hearts. So I didn't do something yesterday that I've been kicking myself since I didn't do it. Got a haircut. I bet you guys noticed. Kind of hurts my feelings when you guys laugh like that. So I got a haircut, but there was a young man that came in, and he's U.S. Army, and I don't remember his name. But when I was leaving there, I thought, you know what? I should have just paid for his haircut. And I didn't do it. So I promised myself that the next time that happens, I'm going to pay for that. This was a young man, but I'm going to pay for the haircut. And it was just kind of goofy that I didn't do that. I thought that was God working in my heart to help someone, that just to thank him for doing that. The problem was, apparently I didn't get the message until I was in my car and pulling out of the parking lot. So I will have to be more attuned to that, because it never even dawned on me until I was leaving. And so God gives us what we need in our hearts to do what we're supposed to do. I apparently just am in the little delayed reaction stage and didn't recognize it right away. But at least I learned my lesson. I won't miss that opportunity again. And he also makes our character such that we are the right person to reach out to people. Now, that does not mean we're all the same. Because just because I am the way I am does not mean I can reach out to everybody and share the Lord. Because some people wouldn't be interested in hearing me. And some people might be. But it doesn't mean we have to be the same. So Linda McBride at Partners is going to retire. I don't know if you guys have heard that. And she's been there a really long time, I bet 20 or 25 years. They had someone for that position before her because the partners group is a different group. A lot of them are homeless or not exactly what we would consider a normal home situation. So the guy that was there very first had been in a biker gang, had spent some time in prison, and he really started that ministry. That may not be the right person for every church, even in Indiana, but he probably might have been the right person for that to start that when it first started, because he had a good understanding of what a lot of the people that went there were going through, because he had done that, just like the ladies on Mom who'd had drug issues and knew what that lady was going through. They had seen all that and done that. And so when I say character, it does not mean that all of us have to be the same, because that is just simply not true. But you're the right character in a good way to reach out to the person that God's put in front of you. Again, we don't have to be the same. We're just the right person for the person that we came in contact with. And so as we go out into the world, because everybody's going to go someplace today, and you react with people, figure out what it is that God is leading you to do. Don't wait until you're in the car already on State Road 32 pulling out, okay? But figure it out before. You know, be open with your heart and your mind to hear how God's leading you. And so, if you haven't noticed, all the hymns today are about God being in our heart. You know, this is the day. And so don't let a day go by and not take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. We do not know what our time on this earth is, how long we have, and whether we're on the end of hearing someone share the Lord or us being the one who shares. We don't want to miss an opportunity. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that you come into our lives. Let us not keep it a secret, but share it with all those that we come in contact in the world that does not know you. Let us be open to how you want us to reach out. You've given us each the character we need in order to reach those who you bring into contact with us. Give us the confidence and the courage to do what you ask us to do, to reach out, bring more people to know and to love you. Amen.